This is Toon Talk Weekly, episode 268. This week, Brad and I jump into the newest offerings from Netflix when we check out Matt Groening's Disenchantment.
All in.
Call.
Two pair.
Not so fast. Three me's.
Well, that's only two.
One, two, me. Money's mine.
Not when I got the knife.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Toon Talk Weekly. This is the weekly cartoon podcast where we chat about cartoons. It's right in the name. I can't even lie to you about what we talked about on this show. I'm Jake Williams, but I don't do the show alone. Once again this week, brought along my good friend Brad Chmielewski. What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going?
Dude, it's going pretty well. It's, you know, pretty good weekend to watch some cartoons. It's pretty rainy here. It's feeling like fall, which I love. Pumpkin spice lattes aren't back yet, but I'm going to be all over them when they are.
Well, it's like 90 here, so it's coming your way.
We're like literally four hours apart or something.
Hasn't made it yet.
Oh, no. All right. Well, not looking forward to it, but we could just start a weather podcast because I do think that's the thing I go to the most is like talking about what it's like outside. But anyway, welcome to Toon Talk Weekly. If y'all have never listened to the show before, every week, Brad and I, who are animators by day, we spend a lot of our time illustrating and animating. We use cartoons a lot for reference, as well as we just don't want to grow up, so we keep watching them. Every single week, we watch a different cartoon, whether it's from something pretty old, from the 60s, 70s, 80s, something like that. I feel like we've done some 50s cartoons, too. We've done some like...
Mighty Mouse, right?
Mighty Mouse was the one with the... the like wolves with guns, which was like not okay in today's society, all the way up to brand new stuff. And that's exactly what the topic of this week's show is going to be, all about talking about the series Disenchantment. This is a brand new show over on Netflix created by Matt Groening. Groening, of course, if you've ever watched a cartoon in your life, you've probably heard his name because he created The Simpsons and Futurama, two of the longest running series of all time.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say here, like in our first, 5-10 minutes of this episode, some people are going to get mad at what we have to say or our thoughts on this because it's Matt Groening and Simpsons fans. We're going to get some hate. I just know it.
I know
it's going to happen.
I don't know that they will, though, because, well, we'll get into it a little bit. But a brand new series from called Disenchantment from Matt Groening. You brought this to my attention. I'd seen it on Netflix, but I also saw a handful of people talking about it. I actually mostly heard people talking about it because I think there's a Hearthstone reference in the first episode, which is kind of weird.
Okay.
Yeah, that pretty random. I actually don't, and the Hearthstone community might be reaching. It's just like the Hearthstone symbol on like a rock when they're running away.
Okay.
So I do agree with you too, though, that there are friends, people out there, and I have friends who are like super into The Simpsons. They quote The Simpsons like you might be able to quote Seinfeld. You know what I mean? Like... it's just of an era where you might have watched a ton of it and you kind of grew up with it and you kind of love it. And then we watched an episode of Futurama. We've actually covered both of those shows on this podcast.
Right.
And Futurama was another show that I just never really hooked me. But I do know that there's like a super fandom around the characters.
Oh, see, I like Futurama, or I liked it even more than The Simpsons. I think the world was a little more interesting and they could do some like non-linear kind of things with the storytelling because it was space.
Right. Yeah, you could do some pretty wacky stuff. So let's talk a little bit about Disenchantment, Matt Groening's first production for Netflix, his kind of like checking out what the internet is now. Because, man, I think it's crazy that The Simpsons is still running, period, because I don't know that it still exists in the same cultural relevancy that it did at one time. Or maybe it's just because I don't watch it. But anyway, so Groening is back. He's got 20 episodes ordered by Netflix of Disenchantment, but the first 10 episodes actually released August 17th, 2018, so just a couple of weeks ago here, or a week ago, actually, rather. And the series is actually animated by Rough Draft Studios, who also worked on Futurama. The series definitely has the signature Matt Groening-like animation style. And I would say a lot of the signature, like, feel and, like, timing of stuff as well. There's a lot of it that just feels like a fantasy Simpsons, you know. I thought you would be interested to know that the rapper Briggs, who I feel like I've heard before, but I couldn't tell you any of his songs, he's actually part of the writing team for the series. So,
oh, neat. Okay.
Pretty dope. And also John DiMaggio, famous voice actor, famously Bender and many, many other voices in video games and cartoons and all that, described the series as being the offspring of The Simpsons and Game of Thrones, which I can totally see. Generally, what can you expect from the series Disenchantment? It is set in the medieval fantasy kingdom of Dreamland. The series follows the story of Bean, who's a rebellious and alcoholic princess, basically like the princess who's a tomboy who doesn't want to be forced into marriage but is forced into marriage, that kind of stuff. She also has her naive elf companion, Elfo, who shows up out of the blue. We'll kind of talk about that today. And then her personal demon, who goes by Lucy, short for Lucifer, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. So this is Shrek with a girl, a misunderstood main character, sidekick, and I don't know, does Shrek have a demon character we could throw in there? But anyway, yeah, the two main characters.
I guess that could be basically Donkey, right, at that point.
Well, Donkey would be the elf,
oh,
right?
Okay, yeah. Send your emails to Brad. No, yeah, I get where you're going with that. It is interesting. We do focus on those three characters, Bean, Lucy, and Elfo, for the majority of... I only had a chance to catch the pilot, which, I got to be honest, I think it came in at 36 or 40 minutes. And the rest of the episodes are 28. They're like longer episodes. I keep wanting to get to like directly to my review, and I don't want to like say that.
Yeah, I watched the first two episodes.
Okay,
so
cool.
I know. I have a little more context, yeah. But... that's all I'll watch. So,
And a couple of the characters who, at least in the first episode, are significant are King Zog, who is John DiMaggio. That's who he voices. That's the king, Bean's father, and Queen Una, her stepmother, who's like a fish lady. She's like not like a. I don't know what happened to her mother, but now she's got this stepmother who's also like a fish bat creature looking kind of whatever. So. So let's talk a little bit about the series, man. Mostly, I think, walk through the pilot, because the pilot exists to literally drop you into this world and set it up.
Right.
But then I'd love to know a little bit more about where it goes. Because this is on Netflix, it's very easy in that sort of binge territory where you might be able to just throw it on. But yeah, I guess we'll get to that as we get there.
Okay. Right?
Yeah, man. So Disenchantment, it kind of starts out, it puts you in this like fantasy world. It also... does a mixed media thing that I'm sure it's easier to tell now, but you have the signature 2D animation style of Matt Groening and the animators that work on that stuff. But then also when they show the wide kingdom, which is this giant, cool, bustling kingdom up on like a cliff, it's definitely 3D. It's like a 3D full spin, yeah. Which is pretty rad. But we basically... I actually don't even like remember where it starts. I remember the very first situation is like her getting married or her being forced to get married.
It starts setting up the idea that she is not your normal princess. She's in the tavern playing cards with everyone, basically cheating, and people are mad because, you know, it's classic, you know, rich get richer kind of idea. Like the princess cheated us out of our money.
Yeah.
And so then there's a fight and she has to like sneak back to the castle kind of thing.
Man, she was hustling them. Cause even I think the guy had two pair and she said she had three of me and like she had only had two. And then she's like, well, I'm also going to be a queen. So like, or whatever.
Yeah. Classic, yeah. Classic, royalty always cheating us out of everything.
So yeah, you do get this vibe, like right off the bat that Bean is not the beautiful princess that you would expect in a fairy tale, right? But quickly, we realize that she needs to get back to the castle. She's kind of been arranged to be in this marriage by her father. It seems like by her father, mostly, out of a truce or like a partnership with another kingdom. The purpose of this arranged marriage, as were, I guess, many of them back then, is really political in a way, economic in a way, right? It's not like because she needs to get married to this person. And she's, of course, not very happy about it. She does have some conversations with her like caretaker, basically saying stuff like, I'm miserable all the time. I wonder what it would be like. Is there anybody out there who's just happy and like joyous all the time? Which introduces us to Elfo and his elf companions who live in some forest far away from the kingdom, basically.
That's apparently walled off and no one has seen elves for a long, long time.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting. And the way they obviously do the cut and, you know, the cutaway or whatever, and then suddenly you're in this thing. It went on for so long. This, like, these elves are all jolly. They're making toys or crafts or whatever they're crafting.
No, they make candy.
Or candy, sorry.
He has a line where he's like, isn't it strange that we get paid in candy, but we also make candy all day? That doesn't seem like a good cycle.
Right. He's like really trying to break down what his purpose in life is. And none of the elves are, because they're all singing their tune, their joyous tune, to keep working and keep being happy. But dude, this whole segment with meeting Elfo, I guess I wasn't sure what was going on, because pre-watching this episode, I had no idea what the series was about. I thought it was like some Family Guy kind of cutaway and we were going to be done soon. And they were just in this elf village for a long time. But I get it. Like, now I get it. Now that you've been introduced to Elfo, right? You learn of like small things like Elfo kind of had a girlfriend, right? But like, not really. She was like everybody's girlfriend.
Yeah, Kissy.
Yeah, Kissy.
Everyone had stupid like Smurf kind of names, like Smug and Jerky and...
There was the one guy that always, Shaco or something, who was always in shock. He was always like, what?
Right.
So all kinds of stuff like that. And I think at one point, like, they basically, weren't they going to hang Elfo?
Yeah, they were going to hang him.
Like,
or they did hang him, but he didn't die.
Yeah, he ended up getting out of that situation and ended up deciding to leave.
Mm-hmm. So he's miserable in a place that's entirely happy.
Yeah.
And the queen is miserable in a place where... everything is miserable, I guess.
Yeah, in a way. It's kind of an interesting dichotomy that they have there.
Misery loves company, kind of.
Yeah. And then they do have the final scene with Elfo there, who, when he, like, basically nobody's ever gone through this giant doorway into the kingdom or, like, outside of the forest. And he's like, oh, man, I'm really glad to put that lever there to, like, be able to open this gigantic door, because I'm just a tiny elf. What am I supposed to do? So that was pretty interesting. And, eventually, he'll meet up with Bean here. But you do get another side scene here, as Bean is kind of like preparing for her arranged marriage. You know, the other kingdom is kind of showing up with the husband-to-be and other travelers and that sort of thing. She's given a gift, which is like this little puzzle box kind of thing. And we kind of learn of this like these ominous pair of people who are watching the princess all the time.
We have no idea who they are or why they are doing this.
Yeah, it reminded me kind of like a Skeletor situation where they just have this like crystal ball they're looking at. They're like, I can just see what's going on all the time. Inside this puzzle box, when she actually opens it, is Lucy, is this demon who very much is like gets mistaken for a cat a lot. The design is kind of interesting. All black, you really just see the eyes. The mouth doesn't really like talk, move that much. It's more like it's speaking to you kind of thing. It's pretty interesting character, because a lot of his scare tactics, or like magic, if you will, is through his use of like shadows or growing or whatever. He's quite literally, you know, the angel and demon on your shoulder. He's the demon there to make sure you do bad stuff.
Ah, you look great, though. Nice to meet you. They call me Lucy.
Guards! Guards! A weird ghost guy is attacking and complimenting me!
Shut up! Silencio!
First up, not a ghost. Ghosts are losers that got murdered. I am a demon. That's right. In fact, your personal demon. Get used to it, because you were stuck with me for all eternity. Nati.
So now they're together in a way. Like, I guess he's like, well, Bean, I've basically cursed you. You got me. You stuck with me now. We skip ahead to the wedding, right? And turns out the husband that is going to marry Bean here, completely an idiot. Guy's basically brain dead. And I don't quite remember what the exact setup was that made him take this tumble.
She knocks the ring out of his hand, and then he goes down to Ben to pick it up and stabs his head basically on the Game of Thrones chair.
Yeah. So decides to say no, swats the ring away, and is impaled when he bends down to get it up. But wait, never fear. He has a younger brother who seems to be like a super annoying guy. Maybe not quite as dumb. But decides like, oh, I'll marry her. That's fine. Like, we can still have this like treaty and it'll all be great. But I like that the brother who just got impaled is still like, I'm actually not dead. If you could just lift my head off, maybe it would be okay. Nobody, you know, pays attention to this guy. But of course, Bean runs off. She doesn't want to be part of this marriage or this wedding anyway. She ends up taking off when Elfo arrives because he's never been to this kingdom and just happens to walk into this like giant chapel. And they sprint off together.
Uh-huh. Because everything is like new to him. He's like, I don't even know what this is. Like, mm-hmm. just like, it's kind of stupid at the same time. It's like, I don't, if anyone has seen like the Kimmy Schmidt kind of stuff or any of those like blasts from the past kind of movies where they're just like, I have no idea what this thing is. And they're like dumbfounded by it. And you're supposed to laugh at their stupidity.
Yeah. There was a very specific thing he said that exact line to, and I'm blanking on it now, but yeah, it was like a situation happened or something was said. And he's like, I have no idea what that is. I don't, you know, I'm not sure here. So.
Do you, Prince Merkimer of Ventwood?
You've got to be kidding me. Father, you can't just make me.
The king can make anyone. You do, you do. Say man and wife.
I now pronounce you man and...
Hi. I'm Elfo. What are all your names?
What the hell is that?
An elf. A magical elf.
Elves haven't been seen in centuries.
Imagine the possibilities. With elf magic, I could progress far beyond card tricks.
Ooh. A shiny gold zarg to whoever seizes the elf.
And they take off, and the remainder of the pilot is really them like running off and being chased by both this new guy who's supposed to marry her, as well as, you know, some of the actual knights and people from the kingdom, because the king wants his daughter back, basically. I actually think the pilot even ends with them being cornered on a cliffside, and they dive off of this cliff, and she just kind of assumes that Lucy knew magic, that it would be fine. And of course, it's not that kind of magic, it turns out.
Yeah. And so episode two, it picks up right there. So really, you're just watching a really long movie. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of why I don't like fantasy stuff and like Game of Thrones type worlds. They don't end. So there's no wrap up at the episode. Like, everything worked out. We can do something completely different next time. They will always and forever run together until they cannot have any more ideas.
this is your gripe with fantasy in general.
Yeah, episode two picks up where, you know, they fall off the cliff. Then they're basically put into another situation that dude has to like get them. They end up getting back to the castle at some point, and this is when the king now has the elf. So he thinks that elf blood is magic. So they basically start sucking the blood out of Elfo. They cage him and start taking his blood. There's a couple different situations where basically the blood kills people. So they're trying to figure out like, well, we must not have used enough blood. Mm-hmm. And then at some point they decide like, oh man, Elfo's running out of blood. This is when Bean and the demon, they're like, we can't really let him die. So they basically drain a pig of his blood and fill up a vial of that.
Oh my God.
The whole episode is really just about the blood.
Elfo's blood, yeah.
Yeah. Then that one prince, he ends up drinking the pig's blood and he turns into a pig. And at that
that's point, how that works.
At that point, the king is kind of, maybe this marriage thing isn't good. We're going to call this off. Like, maybe my daughter is right. Da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the end of that episode.
Okay. But does it leave it in a place where it just feels like it's just going to pick right up at that again?
Yeah, because our sorcerer people are like, this is going perfectly, plan. So next episode is logically going to be what happens as this alliance breaks down, because Bean's kingdom is basically super poor. Mm-hmm. That's why they needed the alliance, because the other kingdom is rich. Mm-hmm. So we're about to see what happens here.
So kind of an interesting couple of like episodes. It's definitely the show that definitely throws you right into it with the tavern scene with Bean. There is some funny writing in it, but there's something about the show to me, and you know, you can chime in with your kind of like notes here too, but there's something it just feels like it's missing or empty. Like it wasn't almost like unfinished, which is weird because the animation quality and the worlds and the character and the illustrations like is great. But I don't know if it's like a sound thing, if it's like too many pauses or emptiness. I'm not sure what it is.
I think the writing is so written for TV that it's not working for me as an internet show, because it doesn't. There was that whole blood thing, but it really wasn't like that gross or anything. But there's nothing that pushes this show like just a little bit, or the jokes don't hit right. Like the writing feels like primetime TV writing.
Yeah, I think a big gripe I read about, and I kind of would echo here, is that there were many areas where they could have taken chances with this, and they just kind of played it as safe as possible. In a lot of those situations, like you're describing this whole episode about pig's blood and stuff, but you're also saying it doesn't like sound that it wasn't itchy, scratchy, gross. Which even
no, they were basically like, "Hey, we got a pig. I think we can get the blood." Mm-hmm. Cut. The room is now they're like standing in a lot of blood.
Gotcha. Or even when he was getting Elfo was getting hung in that one episode in the pilot, it wasn't like a terrible thing. It didn't feel like gripping or gruesome. There's also something, dude, about and this is probably my me not being that familiar with Groening stuff, because I don't watch a ton of The Simpsons or Futurama anyway. I don't know how those are paced or how they're framed, but so many shots just felt like they were framed on this very medium-ish, wide-ish, like average two-shot thing, and the scene just kind of happened, but didn't keep it engaged, where it was like cutting back and forth between characters. I don't know. There's just something that felt like really hollow about the show. I can't really put my finger on what it was, but I gotta say, it didn't grab me at all. Like, I'm actually shocked you made it through two episodes, because it just seems like a thing that's there, and maybe the name value is supposed to carry it, or maybe there's an audience that can appreciate just like a wholesome, not that risque or not that risky show to put these ideas out, and they wanted some fantasy stuff, so here you go.
Well, yeah, I preface this whole episode by saying we're going to get some hate because I think like we were not the biggest fans of BoJack Horseman, which has gone on to be critically acclaimed in many of episodes, but we were not like drawn in on this. So who's to say this isn't, but it's a weird show that doesn't work for me. Like, I got through two episodes, but I had to watch the first 10 minutes of episode one twice because you can't watch this passively either. You have to like watch it because there's a lot of characters. You're jumping around, especially the first episode. You're like, all of a sudden there's a demon. Now we're in this elf world. What's happening? So like a Game of Thrones where you can't do something else. There's too many characters. So you get frustrated if all of a sudden you're like, who is this person? Why is the queen basically a vampire?
Right.
Like, there's just weird stuff that happens that it's almost setting up too much, and you're just like, I don't care.
Yeah. And I also like don't want to sound like I'm knocking, you know, Groening or his team or any of that stuff, but like, doesn't it feel like super late for him to start like, or for the show of like his caliber stuff to start coming to Netflix stuff? Like, shows have had time to figure out kind of like what sells or like what is the right audience that appreciates and watches lots of like things streaming online versus mm-hmm. what you would have on TV. When like if say this show or something like it had come from him or this team, what I want to say like 10 years ago, but I don't think Netflix was technically around 5 years ago, right? When people were like, oh, I can watch like TV type shows on Netflix. Like that's kind of neat. I don't know. It just seems like a show. And maybe it's because I'm comparing it to The Simpsons in my head so much that it just seems like a show that's like really old, but it just came out.
Well, it's also the fantasy world. Like I was kind of saying, I don't really love fantasy stuff. I know you play WoW and you're talking about Hearthstone. So you're more of a fantasy fan than I am. That whole genre, like especially after Game of Thrones now, it just feels beyond played out. Like really, we're going to have another fantasy show come out? Come on.
Yeah. I mean, dude, I love fantasy stuff. Like even I'm in a D&D group now, which is like really weird, but also kind of cool. I'm all about it, but this just like felt like, and maybe it gets better. Look, we've only watched a couple episodes. We don't know everything, but maybe the fantasy world becomes more a part of what's going on later. But right now there's not a whole lot that like they could technically be in any world. The setting just feels like plain rap fantasy. It's just like kind of there.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it like doesn't feel like anything special, but I would have to dive deeper to know that or not. And I don't know that I'm going to dive deeper. I don't know.
Well, I guess they couldn't have done a space show because then people would have been comparing it to Futurama.
Yeah. So that's it, man. There's regular stuff, space and fantasy. You're out of it after it. That's it. Could have been a sports show. I don't know.
Sports show.
Or like, has anyone done like all underground show, like Fallout Shelter, the show? I don't know. So anyway, so we had a chance to check out a couple episodes. It's over on Netflix. If you have an account, you can check out Disenchantment now. To us, we don't give like 5 stars or like we don't give like ratings or anything. This is kind of just us talking about the shows. However, I think we both just were kind of in the camp that it's just kind of there. It doesn't feel like anything special. You're hearing a lot about it, I think, because of who's involved. But I think I would just as soon go watch all of The Simpsons than I would pick this up. I don't know why I feel that way. That's just kind of where my head's at with this one.
So yeah, these two episodes will probably be the only I watch and the only ones I watch unless somebody, maybe they're listening to this podcast, can convince me otherwise that, hey, you got to get to episode 4. It gets really interesting and deep then. Okay.
Nah, man, it turns into a space show. You should keep watching it. So anyway, let's get out of here. Brad, where can people find out more about you when you're not recording Toon Talk Weekly?
So you can follow me on Twitter. It's @brad. And then my blog is digitalhitchhiker.com.
Great. You guys can check them out over there. You can follow me on Twitter @JacobWilliams. And of course, the show, we're all over social media, Twitter, Facebook, Google+, Instagram, YouTube, Toon Talk Weekly or @ToonTalkWeekly is the place you can find us at any of those places. ToonTalkWeekly@gmail.com is the place to send any messages, emails. Let us know what you thought of Disenchanted, or you could totally tell us that we're wrong. We're totally fine with that, too. We put out this stuff. You're allowed to critique it if you want to. Have fun. And then, of course, ToonTalkWeekly.com, the main hub for the show. Any and all episodes up to this point are over there for you guys. You can check out over there. So, yeah, man, fantasy stuff. I thought we'd feel differently about it, but then I forgot how you feel about fantasy. So here we are. Anyway, that's going to do it for this week's episode. We'll be back next week, of course, with another cartoon.
Take care.
To learn more about the show, visit toontalkweekly.com or follow us on Twitter @ToonTalkWeekly.